B-Pod Studios.
Hey there, Stan. It's your Uncle Larry.
Uncle Larry? Are you talking about former meteorologist and known to all of Southwest Florida? Uncle Larry?
Boy, I just what a pleasure it is to hear your voice, and a big howdy do to all my kids down there in Southwest Florida. And boy, I wish I was there with you. I see you got sunny skies and temperatures there, the balmy 70s. I can tell you we sure don't have weather like that where I'm at right now in Springfield, Illinois.
You sound great, Larry.
And for, well, thank you, Stan. Thank you.
And for those of you who are saying, well, who's Uncle Larry?
Well, everybody knows their Uncle Larry.
Back in the early 90s, Uncle Larry was the chief meteorologist at one of our local TV stations.
And we had a lot of fun together. You had a lot of fun with me with your humor.
It was Larry, you got fired because you were drunk.
But see, I got it. I was in on it, and I wasn't bitter about you making fun of me.
And then you went on the air, sauced, given the forecast for Southwest Florida, and you told everybody, your first week on the air, call me your Uncle Larry. You came off as a creep. They alcohol tested you, made you blow, and they fired you. And for 20-some-odd years, you've been nothing but wandering around, trying to get your life back together. And every time I've given you a chance, you failed. But I'm going to tell you right now, you sound great.
Well, I sure do appreciate that, and I feel great, and that's why I called you.
Well, hold on, where are you living, by the way?
Springfield, Illinois.
Good cold weather up there.
When we've talked in the past, sometimes not proud of some of the things I may or may not have said. Some of them I don't remember, but
right.
I know I've leaned on you an awful lot.
I tried to give you so many breaks, Larry, to get back in the business, and now you're somewhere up in Springfield, Illinois, probably living in some trailer with some 70-year-old toothless woman.
No. That's funny, though. I'm back on track, and your Uncle Larry is doing what Uncle Larry does best, giving the forecast to all the good boys and girls here in Springfield, Illinois, and
it's not a kiddie show, Larry, and you're saying you're giving the forecast in Springfield?
Well, I don't know if you recall, I asked you to write a letter for me about a year ago.
Yeah, I didn't mail it.
Well, by golly, I know it's a day-to-day thing, and every day is a struggle. But I've been doing awfully well here in Springfield, and well, Stan, the reason I'm calling you today is to thank you for all your support over the years.
I've tried, Larry.
More importantly, I want you to know that your Uncle Larry, although I'm very grateful to be doing the weather on television anywhere.
Well, did you get back on TV?
For the past 6 months, I've been an associate meteorologist.
At a TV station in Springfield, Illinois?
Yeah, well, it's not New York City, but they found themselves in desperate need. And actually, I've been on for 6 months, and I've got a new tape together, and my only regret in life right now
is
if only I could be doing this back in Southwest Florida. I don't mind Springfield, but I sure would like to just come back home for all the little boys and girls back there in South
Stop
Florida.
With the boy. That's what got you booted out. Now, hold on.
I thought it was my drinking got me booted out.
Both of them did. You drank and then you talked like a perv.
I think I'm ready. I know that, Fort Myers has its temptations. But,
well, yeah, they all knew you by a first name. These bars around here. Wait, I'm still trying to figure out, buddy. Do you know, was it a CBS affiliate, NBC affiliate?
Well, I don't know that that's important, Stan, but let me tell you this. I'm doing so well, and I've got so much faith in myself and all the good little boys and girls there in Fort Myers that I submitted my resignation yesterday because I want to come home.
You submitted your resignation. You got a job for the first time back in TV in 20 years. You submitted your resignation.
I think I've proven myself over the past 6 months that I'm
Six months
doing the job, and I just it's meant to be to have your Uncle Larry back there in Southwest Florida for all you kiddies.
Well, then you should be contacting and stop with the kiddies, Larry.
You remember how I'd have that bouncing beach ball over the high and low temperatures, and
I
loved it when we'd go down there and we'd. I remember, I think I had you on a live shot down there by Lover's Key.
Yeah, I remember.
Me and all the little kitties were building sandcastles and whatnot.
That was the sandcastle competition. Yes, kids came down there, but it wasn't a kid.
And it was me and a bunch of elementary school kids, and we built a big rocket ship.
No, I don't remember that.
They accused me of being perverted and said it looked too phallic and...
Can I?
Why am I talking about this?
I don't know why. It's not helping you. You didn't. Look at it. I see. I just was running a quick search on Springfield, Illinois television stations. You submitted your resignation. You didn't work at. What?
Pardon me?
No, I'm
I submitted my resignation because, if you don't take a chance in life, Stan, as you well know. I'm ready to come home, and I've proven myself, and I'm ready to put Springfield in my rearview mirror. I'm very grateful to all the wonderful people that I've worked with here, and Vince and Herb and.
Hold on, did you work at WICS TV in Springfield, Illinois?
Well, I guess cat's out of the bag. Yeah.
Because I heard you mention Vince.
Very respected station here in the market, and there's Vince. He's one heck of an investigative reporter. Why, he got the mayor in some hot water because you see, this town isn't used to an investigative reporter like Vince. He's worked in New York and Philly, and well, he found out that the chief of police got drunk at a lakeside party and shot his gun off, and the mayor didn't do anything when they shredded the documents about that because they had to bring him in, sheriff's department.
So you know this Vince guy?
Let me tell you something.
Vince Dementri?
Vince,
is that him? Yeah. Vince Dementri?
Vinny D, I call him. I knew Vince's daddy. I've known Vince since he was... just a little kid, and Vince is the one that convinced him to bring me in here. And
Larry, why don't you tell everybody here in Southwest Florida about the Hooters incident? You don't think I know this stuff? I can Google stuff, too. I looked up the TV stations in Springfield. This one pops out like a hot turd. This thing, you want to tell me about Hooters? Uncle Larry and the kids and your buddy Vince Dementri? You want to come clean now, Larry? Because you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you one shot to come clean, then I'm going to read the story. What happened?
I don't know where you're getting this from. I was told that this was going to be handled in-house, and as long as I submitted my resignation, there'd be nothing said that it was a personnel matter.
Let me see here. I gave you every opportunity to tell the truth.
I can tell you that Vince and I and a couple other fellas from the TV station went down to the Hooters for a hamburger.
And maybe a pitcher or two of beer? Larry? Larry? Some frosty ones? Pretty girls around? I'll give you a last chance, Mister. I've submitted my resignation and just want to come home. You drunk? You wanna come clean on this, or am I gonna read the Associated Press report? Larry,
are the APs reporting on what happened?
There we go. Dateline, Springfield, Illinois. History seems to be repeating itself for old Philly newscaster and Southwest Florida weatherman. According to the Illinois Times, former Philadelphia NBC 10 anchor Vince Dementri and a part-time weather forecaster were fired from their latest gigs at WICS-TV in Springfield, Illinois. According to sources, Dementri, 50, and a weatherman who claimed to be a meteorologist by the name of Uncle Larry, age unknown, got involved in a fight with another colleague at Hooters in Springfield on February 24th. Police were called just after midnight. Midnight, Larry. With reports of fists flying between two people. One of them, Dementri. The other one, the forecaster. No word on how many jobs the forecaster has lost. Claiming he's a recovering alcoholic. And I love Springfield, Illinois. Both could not be reached for comment. What the? You're going to call me, you traitor, you liar. You're going to call me. I put in my resignation coming back to sunny Southwest Florida. Can you help me stand? You're a liar. Dad. You're a drunk. So you're not on TV right now, are you?
No, but I've got a case.
Yeah, 6 months, and then you blow it. After 20 years of looking for work, living in the gutter. And then you can't stay away from it.
Do you want the truth, Sam?
Yeah, I want the truth. For once in your life, give me the truth.
Now, I don't understand why they're printing my name and Vince's name, but they skipped the other fellow. What started this whole dust-up was, I had one too many.
You're supposed to be sober.
Well, I thought I could enjoy a pitcher of beer with dinner.
Ha! Larry.
I was wrong.
Okay. I
Southwest Florida, sure have a wonderful time. I feel as high as that Australian pine. Now I'm sweating my friggin' ass off in that Southwest Florida heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to turn your radio on now. Listen to me, we got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off. Fort Myers, all the radios are on. All over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say, 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. All
want to sin. The fill out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws ties and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hate it. Stand and hate it. Stand and hate it. Stand and hate it all afternoon. We like whiskey and liquor. Hot paradise. Listen to us once, then you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon.
To new thrills in stereophonic high fidelity. Sound with a new dimension. The new living sound of
Stan and Haney.
The realism, depth, and dimension of a live performance right in your own home.
96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney.
I'm out of it today.
Friday
I gotta
dimension.
Warn you.
Why, what's the matter with you?
It's just one of those days.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if they happen to you that much, but, like, I'm getting ready to go to work, and I go and open the wrong drawer for the clothes.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And, like, I go to get my drink ready for work, and I'm wait a second. Where did they? Yeah, well, the cups are where they always are. What are you? Why are you opening that drawer?
Just a little off.
And
everything goes wrong.
And once that cascade started, it was everything. I'm amazed I made it here. And by the way, congratulations, Stan.
Why? What?
You've legitimately saved a life.
How? What? What do you mean?
Well, you recall the situation I was in when I left here yesterday.
Oh, with the snake?
Yeah, that was a pretty fearsome-looking snake.
It was a baby snake. It was a baby sidewinder.
No, you kept going, it's a rat snake.
Yeah, it's a
corn snake.
Corn
Ooh,
snake.
That could be a pygmy.
Yep.
No. It's a bush snake.
It was not a poisonous snake. And it went away.
No, it didn't.
Well, then if it's staying, it's helping you on your lanai by the pool. Keep it pest-free.
But you saved a life because I took your word for it. Even though that Al Wilson song was going through my head the whole time,
yeah.
That's what happens when you're nice to a snake. It'll bite you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, our friend that took the picture of the snake...
Yeah.
Maybe you picked up on it, but I just took it at face value. And I had it in my head that the snake was much, much larger.
Little guy.
It wasn't even a little guy. It was like a step up from a worm.
Yeah, it was a baby.
But the way the picture was all zoomed in, I thought that there was like a 4-foot snake out there.
Got to have something to scale on that. You got to throw down a cup or a ruler.
Well, there was no scale.
I know, but it was a baby. It's a baby.
And so I went out there, and she had left the dustpan on top of it. What? You don't want to hear about it?
Let the snake go. Why do you put a dustpan on top of it? You let the snake go. It's harmless.
I didn't do that, okay?
She did.
When I arrived on scene, Stan.
Did you lift the dustpan off of it?
I didn't think the thing was there, because I'm looking around, and I'm expecting, like, you know, at least a four-foot snake, and I'm going, I don't see any snake here. Here, let me grab the dustpan. And it's this thing that's, you know, maybe graduated from wormhood.
Yeah, no bigger than a shoelace.
But it did want to come at me. When I lifted up the thing...
Sure it would. You had it underneath the thing, and it sees light and attacks.
Well, you said it was a good snake. A good snake would know I didn't do it to him. I was trying to help.
Didn't say it was a smart snake.
Well, it turned out to be a smart enough snake, because when I pulled the dustpan off him, he reared up. And I go, you know what? You're a little pipsqueak. And I shoved him into the dustpan and took him outside.
Okay, good.
And so now he'll live to be a big, what kind of snake? A blue rat snake?
A rat snake, a blue corn
snake.
Yep. Milk snake.
Yep. Grass snake.
Garter.
Yep.
Yep.
Mud snake.
Yep.
You know, but I did, because you know how I am. I get focused on these things. And we were talking about it because we put the picture up on the web and everybody said, oh, that's a juvenile black racer.
Yeah.
Which they're fine. I don't have an issue with them. But at this snake's state of being, it actually had some pretty cool camo on it.
Yeah, because it's baby so that they don't get eaten by other things. See,
if that lived to full size, I would like boots made of that.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But the cool pattern goes away and it just turns black,
yes.
Right?
Yep.
And then we were looking at other pictures, and as these things grow, they look like completely different snakes with markings and colors.
Yeah.
But it's the same snake.
Yep. Yeah, it's just growing and be able to kill, because it is not a predator at that age. It's prey. Get eaten.
So what you're telling me, so I can put this to bed,
yeah,
is Stan says it's
S-E-Z, by the way.
It's all part of nature's plan.
Yes, it is. And I wouldn't have done it. He could have let him stay there. He found a way in. He can find a way out.
I don't think he was that smart. And he'd been traumatized. He was just sitting there.
Hey, you
didn't know whether to... Or wind his watch.
Hey, you planning for a big weekend? Forget it.
Why? Why is that, Stan?
Florida.
Why am I here, by the way?
Because you have to. You're okay here.
No, I'm not.
We're still in phase two.
No.
Yes.
Phase two's been paused.
Phase two has been paused before it goes to phase three.
There will be no phase three, Stan.
Not for a while.
And if phase two has been paused... Phase two, I was by the pool.
Florida suspending any alcohol consumption at bars statewide due to the rise of COVID cases. And by the way...
You don't do that.
The latest rise in COVID cases, the median age, you're beyond it. It's for people 32 to 33 years old. They're the ones that are catching it.
I can't be here.
Yes, you can.
No, the agreement was phase two and phase...
Why are you coming at me about it?
Because nobody cares.
I don't see an official of this building saying, go home. They're not. It was an 18...
Have they fled the building?
Some. It was a 19-word tweet. Effective immediately... And I'm not clowning around. This is what they said.
Since 1993, we have referred to this as a sick building.
Yep. Effective immediately, Florida officials are suspending consumption of alcohol at bars.
Well, that'll solve it
statewide.
Right there. That solves everything.
It's the kids. It's the 21 to 35-year-olds.
I thought you said it was only 32 to 33 that were affected.
The median age. Halsey Bashirs, Secretary of State's Department of Business and Professional Regulation.
Oh, DBPR.
Made the surprise announcement on Twitter this morning in a mere 19-word tweet. The news came minutes after Florida reported nearly 9,000 new coronavirus cases, a record for daily increases. Officials have said the number of cases is surging among young adults, which could endanger those who are most vulnerable, old people. Further details about the suspension of alcohol consumption have yet to be announced, including any impact on restaurants. The governor's office says they are having an afternoon press conference. This is just a safety precaution with the young people in the summer. And, of course, it happens right around the 4th of July, so you're really going to get people revved up that they can't have a drink in a bar.
Yep, well, luckily I've gotten all the snakes out of the way. Yeah. Everything's ready now for my return to the pool.
You're in a nice green zone. You're not young enough to be spreading it, and you're not old enough to be incapacitated by it, and you have the best remedy that there is.
What's that?
Proven scientifically. You're a smoker.
Oh, well, that's not in doubt.
30-something studies.
No argument there.
We're going to take a break.
I feel bad for people, you know, that don't have the habit. They won't be as healthy as me.
That's right. Take a break. In a little more than 40 minutes or so, we'll have the Brian House on.
Stan, why not? Well, we're living in a world of tear down George Washington, Abe Lincoln, defund the police. Why not? Smoking is healthy.
Yep. We'll have the Brian House song for you. We'll also have the local beat for you. And I told you I was going to do this. And we'll do it right around, I don't know, 3:30, 3:35. I found, and I was mildly amused by it.
Mildly.
Yeah. Well, I lived it with you. I found a 1998 newscast from you. When the Mark Caney in the News was in its infancy.
When I really belted it out.
The newscast was done on Friday, June 26th, 1998, 22 years ago today. The first year of Mark Caney in the News on this day, 22 years ago.
Yep. Junior was 5 on his daddy's lap, listening to Haney's News.
We'll be back. Stan and Haney.
Ladies and gentlemen, to continue, please warmly welcome with us
Stan and Haney Afternoons, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, Friday edition of the Stan and Haney Show. We'll have the audio grab bag here for you in just a second. If you haven't heard, it happened a little while ago. Florida is suspending any alcohol consumption at bars statewide due to the rise in corona cases. This came out in a 19-word tweet this morning. Effective immediately, Florida officials are suspending consumption of alcohol at bars statewide due to the rise in the vid.
What if I want to riot and drink a 40?
They're not going to stop you.
Okay.
Let's go right ahead. Have fun. As long as you're not drinking it at the bar on premises. They'll still do the to-go stuff and all. It's sitting at a bar, drinking.
What if I want to loiter at a convenience store and, you know, sit outside there?
They won't stop you.
All right. So it's, you can drink anywhere except where you're supposed to.
Correct. The governor will be having a press conference about that. But it was a 19-word tweet, which basically said, in bar consumption.
So, what does any of this solve?
Anywhere that you aren't supposed to, you can. Anywhere you're supposed to, you can't.
I'm a firm believer in do or do not. There is no try.
Junior,
do you understand that, Junior?
You don't get it.
Yes, I agree.
You don't get it.
Junior, do you know where those words of wisdom come from?
They come from Master Yoda.
Did you see how he perked up?
Uh-huh. This is coming from a guy who came and told me I can't print from a computer.
What?
I said, fix it. I don't know how.
I don't know how to fix a printer.
Everybody else is able to print.
Yeah, but yeah. You remember, you had your problems with the double-sided weird font.
I fix it, though.
Well, why did that happen?
Because, I'm going to tell you, part of our soundproofing came off the wall.
It just fell off the wall.
I was doing that last week, too. And everybody from Mangus to me go and put it back up. Even Richard, the engineer, put it back up. And you know what he said? I got to get some adhesive for that. And he never did.
Well, he's got two doctor's appointments today, so right. He can't be here.
Right.
Wasn't worth driving back, Stan. Right.
To help Junior print or to put up soundproofing.
No, it wasn't worth it.
Neither one of them. Let's do the grab bag. Brought to you by the Pewter Mug North.
You can drink anywhere except where you're supposed to.
That's the way I understand it.
All right, I got it.
That's the way I understand it. Yeah, probably, you know, got some adhesive for that. Go ahead, Haney. Put it right back up there. It's going to fall down again. You know, there were so many people a few months... What?
I fixed it.
Good man. For now. There were so many people a few months ago that did not get their stimulus checks that were supposed to come out from the government. Several people.
Really? I got mine, and not only did I get that, but I got a very nice letter from the president.
The U.S.
Did you get a letter from the president?
I didn't get a letter from the president, though.
You didn't?
No.
You should have.
I didn't. The U.S. Treasury Department.
I guess, you know, there's reasons for that, probably.
The U.S. Treasury Department sent out more than 1 million stimulus checks to dead taxpayers to the tune of $1.4 billion. Not only is the government hoping that people will return the checks, but they've also set up a hotline.
You've reached the stimulus check hotline. If you're dead and have not received your check yet, press 1. If you're dead and would like to return the money, press 2. If you're dead and are going to keep the money, press 3. And if you're dead, how did you call this number? Ha. You're busted. The FBI is monitoring this call, and you're about to spend the next 3 to 7 months in the slammer. You're going to wish you were dead.
That's not true. My understanding of the justice system now is that bail is racist, so as soon as they take your picture, you're out the door. Isn't that right?
I don't know.
I thought that's how it worked now.
I don't know. That's not... You and I and everybody here can be arrested.
Oh, we can?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm thinking about New York, where rioters would be arrested, and then they'd be back doing it the next night.
That's Blasio and Cuomo, and neither one of them have a clue.
And you know what it is? I was thinking about this. Cuomo should thank his lucky stars for de Blasio, because de Blasio makes Cuomo look like a genius.
Oh, absolutely. Because if de Blasio wasn't there, Cuomo would be just a complete idiot, but he's one-upped by the mayor of New York City.
Oh, no, hold on, Mayor. I don't agree with this. I think that we should look both ways before crossing the street, okay?
What's one thing that we've tried to stay up to date with throughout the whole COVID?
What is that?
Our favorite couple.
Oh, my favorite show.
Yep.
This is the only one I never miss.
There's another edition of The Married Couple.
And now today's episode of The Married Couple.
Walter?
Yeah?
Do you ever get a shooting pain across your body? You know, like somebody's got a voodoo doll of you and they're stabbing it?
No.
How about now?
Join us next time for The Married Couple.
My favorite show.
Yeah. I like this too. And this is only a snippet of it. Somebody.
Oh.
I told you, there it goes again.
I thought I had it on there good.
Got to get some adhesive for that.
Yes, you don't say.
I got two doctor's appointments.
So this has been going on a while.
Oh, absolutely.
So I've never seen it happen.
You've been out smoking.
Oh, but it has happened recently.
Oh, yes.
Well, this time for sure.
I don't know if any of you have ever been in a recording studio. I know Junior hasn't. But if anybody's ever been in a recording studio, they put up this foam soundproofing stuff.
They call it a baffle.
And it's supposed to, you know, get echoes and, you know, make the room sound better. The stuff goes for an unbelievable amount of money. Just these chunks of foam. And you adhere them to the wall. We have them and they're falling.
Good man. I guess the adhesive failed.
Yep, good job. This goes on for a while, but I got it just a snippet.
Well, you know,
of it.
Isn't that true of the whole show? It goes on for a while.
What if the movie Goodfellas was a 90s sitcom?
Oh, I like these.
Clip from Goodfellas.
You think I'm funny?
And they put a laugh track to it. Just like a 90s sitcom. Here you go.
Really funny. What do you mean I'm funny? It's funny, you know. It's a good story. It's funny. You're a funny guy.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you. I make you laugh.
You know how you tell a story? What?
No, I don't know. You said it.
Get the f*** out of here. Tell me.
I almost had him.
For those of you that can mentally picture that, congratulations. Yep. You're big winners.
You know, body cam on police officers serve a lot of purposes.
Yeah, and most of the time, it's quite beneficial for the cop.
Yeah, this time it's beneficial to everybody. A random guy in California helped a cop pull a man from a burning truck on Father's Day. The cop's chest cam caught it all. You want to talk about dramatic?
Can you get out? Come on. Sir, undo your seatbelt.
Sir, get out. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on.
Come on. Come on this way. Hurry.
Honey, come on.
Help me get him back. The grass is catching on fire.
Thanks to the police cam. Okay. I know for most of my adult life in the business of rock, Metallica has always been around. We played them back in the early 90s.
Well, and they were around
long
even
time.
When we first started.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. For most of my adult rock life.
Now, granted, most people then had never heard of them, but we were aware of them all the way back in the 80s.
Metallica fans have been voting on their Metallica's best song. They've been kind of doing like a March Madness bracket style vote. It came down to two songs. Two songs to determine the best Metallica song ever. There was one. And Master of Puppets. Here's the winner.
Please don't let it be
by
one.
The fans, the best Metallica song. Yeah. get the blood pumping, huh? That'll start some violence.
Makes me want to hear Priest.
Yeah. This is weird. There is an up-and-coming singer. Never heard
now,
of him.
Now, up-and-coming means you've never heard of them and you probably never will.
Probably.
Isn't that right, Junior? You're in the music business.
Sorry, I zoned out. What was that?
Never mind.
When someone's an up-and-coming singer, it means you've never heard of them and you probably never will, right?
Yes.
But they'll take you to the top when they get there.
Exactly. Old mansion.
Well, thank God they didn't take you to jail with them.
Yeah. An up-and-coming singer named A.J. Smith.
Remember the name, or don't.
Well, he's got a little heads up, step up. A.J. Smith recorded a piano ballad called Billy Joel.
Well, that's smart.
Billy Joel liked the song. He liked it enough to share the link on his Twitter account so everybody can hear it. So if A.J. Smith has got the blessing of Billy Joel on his song, Billy Joel, then he has that leg up.
So baby, what are we fighting for? I've run out of ways to say that I'm so sorry. It's never too late, so let's start over. Are we crazy for falling back in love? Or can I hold you close tonight? I can sing your favorite song. You know the one by Billy Joel.
This is, I guess, some news for you and I, Haney. About it. The Kentucky Derby will happen.
Will it?
It will happen on September 5th, Labor Day weekend, and officials say fans will be allowed to attend.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby.
We're going to do our part on both sides to be safe and responsible, but also to try and make those movements so that we can get back to some sense of normalcy.
They say that they don't know how many fans that they will allow into Churchill Downs on Labor Day weekend, but there will be fans.
What about mint juleps?
What about them?
Well, if it was in Florida, you wouldn't have any mint juleps.
It's in Kentucky, and the mint juleps will flow. Man, I was at Churchill Downs one year, and I must have drank about 75 mint juleps.
Did it affect you at all?
Yes. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back...
You want to watch a video with me when we come back?
No, we got a Brian Howe song that we're going to be playing when we come
back. Oh, okay. Yeah, this probably wouldn't go with that too well.
This is being debuted on our show. It's the worldwide debut. It's going to be available on all of your devices, your Apples, your Spotify's. Brian Howe, before he passed away on May 6th, was working on new music. There was about 15 tracks that they were working on. I'll give you more details about it. But this one, he started working on in 2016. And right up until the time he passed away, it was being tweaked and worked on because he wanted this song released. And his family has released the song today. And it is unlike any Brian Howe song you have ever heard. It's him, a piano, and a light backing vocal by a woman. I'll tell you who she is. And If it doesn't bring a tear to your eye, you've never heard Brian Howe like this. And today is the worldwide release of this song, authorized through his family, and we'll have it for you when we come back. It's called Going Home, and it's a beautiful song, and we'll play it for you here on the Stan and Haney Show.
Hey, it's Dave and Chuck the Free, and now back to Stan and Haney on 96K Rock, everything that rocks.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney, Friday afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us. In about 30 minutes, we're going to turn back the clock 22 years.
Am I going to like this?
I don't know. It's interesting. I find it interesting. And for those people...
It was a different time with a different mindset and a different purpose.
Mark Haney is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, and he has been behind the news desk, bringing you the news at just after five every day for over 22 years. That's when we started putting in a newscast. So I'm going through the stuff, and we're talking about, geez, 22 years. I mean, grown adults weren't alive when you first started doing the news, or they were children. You've been doing it and delivering it for people of Southwest Florida for a long time. It just so happens that the year you started doing Mark Haney in the news was 1998, and the calendar for 1998 is the same for the calendar in 2020. So in about, I don't know, about another...
Meaning the days and the dates match
yep.
up.
So in about 25 minutes, we're going to play you a Mark Haney newscast from the first year he took the anchor desk. June the 26th, 1998. Friday, June the 26th. 1998. And tell there are things in that newscast that have stood the test of time, but you will see how back then it evolved. And yes, Haney's voice is different. So I need the emails saying, gee, he sounds different.
Well, when we first...
Most people do 22 years later.
Well, when we first started it, I remember that the idea was that I was going to really push the anchorman voice.
Yep. And you did. But you could see in that first year of news broadcasts the genesis, the beginnings of something that would last now into its third decade.
Yeah, it's so weird, though. Because we released our newscast, the first several were from 2008, 2009, 2010. We released those
yes.
in 1988, 1999, 2000. And then it was so popular, we said, oh, geez, we got to do a prequel.
What? I'm just playing something from 22 years ago today.
Well, I'm just thinking it's like Star Wars, you know, because how they did that.
See, that's the only way you'll perk Junior up is mention something about that.
Oh, boy, when I quoted Yoda,
yeah.
He perked right up.
That's still to come. We got the local beat this break, too, but we got to play you something. And
it's something that's very special because... It involves a friend of ours.
Yes. I Haney and I have known Brian Howe for a long, long, long time.
Do you know I was introduced to Brian Howe before I ever got here? That was like, I think they were talking about hiring me,
mm-hmm.
but Joe was with Brian and put Brian on the phone with me.
Met Brian in 1991 at our fifth birthday show. He wasn't performing at that show, but he was there. That's when I first met him. Got an opportunity to sing with him in Bad Company on stage. Was in his wedding procession when he got married at halftime of an Arena 2 football game. And I was in his wedding procession numerous, countless times on this show. Ups and downs, highs and lows.
Had a lot of fun hanging out at his place.
Yep. I loved arguing with him because he always told me that he'd throat punch me.
And do you know why that is? Because you're a prat. Shirt lifter.
And just a longtime friend. And Brian passed away on May 6th. And 66 years old, and his voice was still spectacular. And
oh, his voice was always strong.
And he was working on stuff right up until the time of his death. He was working with Texas producer Brooks Pascal, and they were coming up with some new Brian Howe stuff that
now,
they were working on together.
Brooks is the guy that he did Hot Tin Roof with, right?
Yeah, they had gained a friendship and a partnership. And
that song did pretty well for him.
And so after he had passed away, Brooks and his family and his management and his team wanted to go and do something with these songs. And hopefully there'll be an album that comes out of it. But the one song that stuck with everybody in his family, with Brooks, with his management, was a song that they had to finish because he was working on it up until the time of his death. When his mom passed away, Brian's mom, he wrote a song, and it was called Going Home. And he kept it basically to himself. He didn't know what he could do with it. It was just him and his emotions of the loss of his mom. And in 2017, he had his first heart attack, took another look at that song and his mortality. And right up until the time he passed away in May, he and Brooks were working on this. And Brooks said, "We got to get this song finished, because it is so strong, especially with Brian reflecting on life. We got to get it done." On this song, on piano, is an Orlando singer-songwriter named Luke Davids. Background vocals on this song are from Fort Myers Beach singer-songwriter Sheena Brooke, best known for competing in the 2017 version of The Voice, and they worked on this song, and today is the official worldwide release of this Brian Howe song, and it's a song that you wouldn't expect to be a Brian Howe song because he's a rocker. This one, private, personal, and with his passing this past May, carries so much weight, and it is so heartfelt. Here's the worldwide premiere of Brian Howe's song. Jeez, get some Kleenex. Have something to wipe your eyes. It's called Going Home. Our friend Brian Howe.
Fear, All of my lifetime has brought me here. Ooh, how time has flown. Ooh, I'm going home forever. There's been sun, there's been pain. I'm too tired now to explain. This takes faith, this takes more, more than anything I've done before. Kiss the face of angels. Will I live without a trace? Will I meet those gone before me? Soon enough, I will know.
Beautiful. Brian Howe, Going Home. Wow. See, I don't feel like he's gone. We were talking about it yesterday.
Yeah.
Just haven't heard from him in a while.
That does not compute. That was really something.
That was beautiful. And I want to thank his family. For releasing that song. Everybody involved with that did a tremendous job, and it's a tribute to him, his abilities, that voice. You know what? We got to take a break now. We'll come back and do the other things in a minute.
So, that was powerful.
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Stan and Haney.
Well, I'll leave you to groovy buddies to partake in rock and roll activities.
96 J-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Been getting a lot of texts and phone calls about how you can get that Brian Howe song. I'm told by our program director, Matt Mangus, that song, Going Home, will be available on all the streaming services starting at midnight tonight. Again, we were the first ones to play it, and it's going to be available. Your Apple, your Spotify, all available at midnight. So there you go.
It's a beautiful song,
Yep. And
it's so sincere. It's so weird though to think about the guy that we clowned around with, doing something so profound.
Yeah, beautiful. It's just beautiful. In a second, we will go back to this day in 1998. But before we do that, we got to get around to doing today's local beat. And I got a real beauty. A real beauty. This comes to us, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, NBC2.
You mean TV20?
TV20 on your rabbit ears. Your bow tie. Headline. Drunk, shirtless Florida man arrested after shoveling spaghetti into his mouth at Olive Garden.
When did that become a crime?
Well, it becomes a
crime. I thought that was part of the lifestyle.
That's just the what they call in the business the teaser. It gets a little worse. Dateline Naples, Florida. A drunken shirtless Naples man was arrested at an Olive Garden on Sunday after shoveling spaghetti into his mouth.
Isn't that what you're supposed to do with spaghetti?
He wasn't using utensils to start with.
There's more to it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right.
The police were called to the Olive Garden on 5th Street South because 32-year-old Ben Padgett was causing a disturbance. Police found Padgett sitting on a bench near the front door of the Olive Garden, shirtless and shoveling spaghetti into his mouth with his hands. And wouldn't you know it, a strong smell of alcohol came from him as well. According to the police report, Padgett was asking people for money as they walked up to the entrance of the Olive Garden. He then threatened a restaurant employee who asked him to stop, saying to the restaurant employee, "I could beat your ass."
He could.
When the employee went back inside to call police, Padgett followed him into the restaurant and asked the employees loudly, or asked that employee loudly, what kind of genitals he had.
He was kind of fired up, wasn't he?
He sure was. When he was placed into handcuffs, Padgett began twisting his body and kicking his legs. After police arrested Padgett and Haney helped him get into the back seat of the police car.
Watch your head.
Padgett then started smashing his forehead into the metal cage of the car's partition. Cage, not the glass, the cage.
Now, would we interpret that he was expressing displeasure with his situation?
He sure was.
Different form of communication.
Yep. Padgett was charged with disorderly intoxication.
Hey, tell the trustee you're going to need the gloves.
Yeah. You want to show Haney his picture too, Junior? Padgett, and this is available on our Facebook page. Padgett was charged with disorderly intoxication and resisting an officer without violence. He was later transported to the Naples Jail Center,
where he was receiving the help that he needed.
This guy, you know, right off the bat, if you were walking into the Olive Garden down in Naples, 5th Avenue South, you know, come on, Helen, kids. And then you got this guy shoveling spaghetti in his face, shirtless. There you go.
Oh, boy.
How to do?
I'm sure the parents are just thrilled. What's going on there, Stan?
That's a 32-year-old man right there. That's a grown adult.
How does somebody end up like that?
I don't know.
Yeah, you do.
And just to think, when you did this newscast we were about to play, he was only 10.
Al K. Hall.
Oh, yeah. Does it every time. Every time.
See, the problem with Al K. Hall is your interaction with people who aren't there with you on your wavelength.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't make sense to you, and you don't make sense to them.
And he was enjoying spaghetti with his hands.
The hell, you never seen a man eat? Kick your ass.
All right. Yep. We were talking about this earlier in the week. We bring it up every now and again. Because when we introduce Mark Haney in the news, he's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman. And maybe you've listened for a few years and you're like, okay, what is he, just call himself that? No. He's been behind the news desk here at 96K for more than 22 years, bringing you the news.
And I would hope in those 22 years that I've gotten better.
Yes, you have.
Yes. So I'm about to be embarrassed.
I don't think it would be embarrassing. When I listened to this, I didn't say, oh, this is embarrassing. I said, this is the genesis. This was the guy that drove Pete Scovel out of town. This was the guy that sent him out on a rail.
You remember when I didn't want to do it, but I had to, and I said, bring me the head of Pete Scovel.
For those of you that are too young to remember that, Pete Scovel was over at the...
You're welcome.
Now Fox 4.
You're welcome.
And he did a segment called The Troubleshooter. Jeez.
Yeah, they didn't have news then.
No.
They had this half-hour segment called The Troublemaker.
Shooter.
Isn't that what it's called? The Troublemaker? Where Pete Scovel would just go around harassing local businessmen.
Here's an example of what that was like. Helen Timkins was hoping to get a new roof. She's out $3,500. We here at the Troubleshooter, that was Pete Scovel, we're going to go and see what we can do about this. And she'd go on, I made phone call after phone call, and they just hung up on me. And then I would go to their place, and it was locked. Nobody was there. Well, Pete Scovel and the Troublemaker crew would go out there, and he'd always wrap it up.
Although Helen didn't get her $3,500 back, the Troublemaker was able to convince the local businessman to write a check for $15.
Thank you, Pete. You did it again. And so then when Fox did get news, they initially had him, you know, we're not going to go and get rid of him. We're starting news. He's our news guy, Pete Scovel. And he initially sat at the news desk for like a month before they said, get go. Haney demanded it.
I didn't do it lightly, Stan.
No, you did not.
I was forced.
Here, ladies and gentlemen, 22 years ago today, in his first year as anchorman, Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman is Mark Haney. Let's go back decades.
What's the date?
June 26th, 1998. Friday, June 26th, 1998.
He is the news. Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
This is the news for today, Friday, June 26, 1998. I'm Mark Haney. You may have heard how David Wilnick got married to Elizabeth Brunsey a few weeks ago in the Mall of America after his friends picked her out of a group of women who showed up to marry him. Remember, he was the dude who had everything for his wedding except a bride. Well, if you laughed out loud at this pathetic individual, think again. Because Steve Tisch, the producer of Forrest Gump, just bought the rights to his story and has already signed up Dustin Hoffman to direct it. Headed for Easy Street. Thanks to the Make-A-Wish Foundation, 8 teenage girls probably started feeling things in parts of their bodies they didn't know existed before. Actually, before you start thinking that their diseases were flaring up, you should know they were having lunch in a Beverly Hills Planet Hollywood with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Jennifer Nash, a 13-year-old girl with leukemia from Hope Mills, North Carolina, said about the experience, "Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. He was the greatest. He was just so great. He kissed me and kissed me again and again the whole time. He brought photographs and told us everything." And if that weren't enough, she also got a shirt embroidered by DiCaprio's mother. Told you it was a slow news day. We all know how former President George Herbert Walker Bush made some bad decisions, like choosing Dan Quayle for vice president and eating too much sushi while in Japan. But now he may have made his worst mistake by thinking he could become a comedian. Bush went back to Washington to roast his former press secretary, Marlon Fitzwater, and Bush thought it would be a hoot to play Tarmac the Magnificent.
Tarmac.
Johnny Carson's old bit. A sample of the groundbreaking comedy heard there. Fitzwater. Voodoo. Bush. What do you find under your pet voo? Fitzwater, Houston, we have a problem. Bush, what phrase will NASA hear if John Glenn forgets to pack his Metamucil? Americans love to watch trashy people exchange blows to the face and neck on television. Here's proof. Ratings are down 6% after the first full week of the new Fight Free Springer show.
That's what made the show work.
Oh, my God.
What?
Another Saturday Night Live movie. Good Lord. This Catholic schoolgirl character, Mary Catherine Gallagher, making a movie around that character called Superstar. Very possibly could be the next Stuart Smalley Saves His Family or It's Pat. You may recall Lysa Selfen, a 25-year-old law student, was struck by lightning at the Tibetan Freedom Concert. She left the hospital yesterday, but before leaving, she thanked several of the acts from the concert, including Live, who played a benefit show for her last Thursday, Red Hot Chili Pepper lead singer Anthony Kiedis, who visited her in the hospital, and R.E.M. and Dave Matthews, who sent cards. Isn't that nice? You heard it here first months ago, but the mainstream media has now gotten a hold of it, and you can just be proud that you knew before anybody else. The Chips reunion, official, TNT, October, Ponch and John, right again.
This is Sergeant Cotrera from Chips. You're listening to Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock, in my office in 10 minutes, boys.
There you go.
18-year-old Darren Lewis of Royal Oak, Michigan, known for the charcoal, was arrested Thursday for allegedly trying to burglarize a house while taking his baby for a walk. Police say a woman returned home to find Lewis pushing his 8-month-old son in a stroller through the house looking for cash. And tonight's good news. A new report from our friends at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention states that the rate of new cases of syphilis is at the lowest rate ever.
Beautiful. Any news on the widow Sinatra and that robbery?
Yeah. Hoboken, New Jersey, down on the dock, she was hit in the head with a plumber's wrench.
Apparently she was her and another couple, some friends, Beverly Hills. She claims two black men, one about 6'5". Demanded,
so like a small forward.
Yes. Demanded money, took some jewelry off her to the tune of about $17,000, fled to a waiting car. She was visibly shaken, but no injuries or nothing. The holdup people, the two of them there, they did not have guns.
Man, 17 grand.
Yeah.
That's a lot of costume jewelry to be wearing.
Sure is.
Just in case you were getting ready to send Grandma a Roman candle, I warn you, the post office won't allow it. Lots of patients are afraid. I'm sorry. Take two. Lots of parents are afraid to take their kids to public swimming pools ever since a dangerous outbreak of the E. coli bacteria has been tracked to an Atlanta water park, where one little monster actually pooped in the pool. 9 innocent kids were infected. 3 of them hospitalized, So now parents are taking no chances. One mother said, we'll find other things to do. We've got a sprinkler. In Miami's Fairchild Tropical Garden, a rare 5-foot-tall flower has just bloomed, but it's giving off such an appalling smell that the security guard has to wear a mask. This flower, only the sixth of its type to bloom in the United States, but they call it the corpse flower.
Ooh. Yeah, I heard it. It has a stench that's unbelievable. Like, smell of death.
And that's why they call it the corpse flower.
That's right.
And finally, and I mean finally, what could be bad about peddling ice pops to little kids all summer? An ice cream woman in Commerce City, Colorado, has been stealing from children who come running to her ice cream wagon truck to buy treats. A 6-year-old boy in the neighborhood claims he handed her a $10 bill for a $1.50 cone, but was given no change. Two other boys say the ice cream vendor took several dollars off them as well. The owner of the ice cream wagon fired the woman, who was soon charged with theft, and promised to treat the three youngsters to a day at an amusement park or a ball game to make it up for them. Happy ending after all. And that's the news for today, Friday, June 26, 1998. I'm Southwest Florida's most respected anchor man and the most powerful man in broadcasting, Mark Haney.
Thank you, Mark.
There it was.
Boy.
22 years ago today.
You know, let's get our takeaways on this. I'll start. My takeaway.
Yeah.
I was so much more likable.
You were.
Your take?
That you were very much more likable.
Junior?
Yeah, definitely more likable then. Yeah.
More outgoing, engaging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of things happen in 22 years.
A lot of things.
Oh, believe me, even in 98, I had scars.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mistakenly thought that would be the worst of it.
But it wasn't. Oh, by the way, Junior, have you put a stick pin into Portland, Maine yet? Portland, Maine.
Yes, I did.
The locals call it Porthole.
Porthole, Maine. Just got a call from our buddy Shorty. He moved away from here. He's living up in Porthole, Maine.
Well, I blame you for that because you keep talking about it.
What?
You're going to move to Maine.
I am. Eventually. You know, I hope to retire there on some oceanfront property in Maine.
Well, lucky for me, your wife will make sure that I have, you know, some living quarters.
She's already got that in the works. We're going to take a break.
I would, what? And I know you'll fight it, but I'd like to have a view. Oceanfront. I'd like to be able to see the water.
Let's go. Before I take the break, let's take a look at some texts.
Oh, text coming in with their take?
Yeah. We already have our take.
That I was much more likable.
Yeah.
And relatable.
Absolute Law text line. Mark Haney sounded like he liked his job. Let's see.
You know what? I do like my job, but you try doing the same thing every day.
Well, I think that gives you a little new life there playing that.
For 20-odd years.
Classic Haney. Superb. Oh, I remember the troubleshooter Pete Scoville. Yeah, thanks to Haney. Drove him out of town.
We ran him out of town faster than Uncle Larry.
When Pete Scoville first came to town, he worked for Semner Electric on Fort Myers Beach, which is still in business. Then he got the gig at Fox, which was TV 30 what now then?
Six.
36. When he was at Fox and had that Fox money, he had, I'm not going to say that. He had habits. I don't know what they are.
But you could guess.
Yeah. But they say it was recreational.
I'm not reading the rest of that. We're going to be back. We're Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by the... Go, you know the thing.
Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Friday edition of the Stan and Haney Show.
You know what? You're right, Stan.
What?
I should come at it today with 1998 energy.
Some gusto.
You're right. You know what? We need to set things right. I'm going to call up Dan Marino right now and tell him to get off his ass. It's about time to get back to doing what he does best.
Let me go back to the text.
You know what? What are you doing, Zonka? You've been hunting for 30 or 40 years. Let's get out there and make the Dolphins a winner again.
Let's see. Where is it? Absolute Law text line. Listening to that segment, Mark had pep in his voice. After 22 years, what have I done with my life? Let's see. Where's the other one? I saw another one. Where are you? Where are you?
Boy, you just love the text, don't you? They're so easy to deal with.
It's a pain in the ass. Never mind. I got to worry about traffic.
Well, what did it say? What was so important?
I forget what the hell they wrote. They wrote a long thing. I can't find it, though.
Well, I saw it there a second ago. That's a picture of a boat.
That's boat, because I got to do traffic.
Oh, but we can't work a printer?
Most people can work a printer. Our producer comes to me and says, I can't print anything.
I don't know how to work the printer. I don't know.
Did you ask anybody?
Yes.
Did you ask Matt?
Yes.
And what did he say?
Well, I used his printer.
You used his printer?
Well, what do you want me to do? Like,
is it the computer or is it the printers that are broken?
It's the network connection.
I was able to print today.
What I'm trying to figure out is why Stan doesn't have a piece of paper in his hands.
I'm sorry. It's the best I can do.
Couple of things on the board. We will start in North Fort Myers. There is a crash. North Cleveland Avenue and North Key Drive. And in Bonita. Disabled vehicle, Imperial Parkway, and Coconut Road. And you are up to date. Coming up in less than 1 hour, it will be the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney. What will be coming up? What will he be discussing? Well, he's got today's headlines for you. A lot of pep.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you did not know.
Okay.
We'll also bring you what we know of this week in science.
Science! Won't even ask him. Won't even ask him.
No, don't. Please.
No. It's off the rails today. Mentioned Star Wars, though. He perks up like a kid.
Yep. Here's a question for all the drunks.
Okay.
It's the weekend.
Yep.
How early is too early to start drinking?
Ah, that is a good question. That's a good one.
For us, it depends on the situation, because mm-hmm. we've had drinks at like 10 in the morning.
Earlier than that!
What are you thinking of, Key West?
Yep.
What's the earliest that you and I have had a convivial?
8 o'clock in the morning.
Can you name the time and place?
Yeah.
Please?
two. I can remember two situations. Key West, when by 8:30 in the morning, the live music was starting, and the bartender came in early to make us drinks. And then the other time, do you remember when we had Fat Tony at the sand sculpting, and we had the hotel there, and
Bloody Caesars?
Yes, sir. At 8 o'clock in the morning.
I would consider that almost involuntary.
I would too.
Because I don't think either one of us wanted anything, but it was insisted upon.
We were drinking before nine.
See, what I had in mind was just us having a Gulfstream breeze looking over the race sheets.
Well, I can also say that, and I don't do this anymore, but I would, if I had an early tea time, I would probably be drinking early.
Because I wasn't thinking about beer open. I wasn't thinking about Key West, and you mentioned the other thing, that's true. I was thinking the earliest that you and I ever had anything to drink was usually at the track.
Yeah, and that would be about just before 11.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see what the survey says.
In less than an hour.
You're going to have questions about this headline, Stan. I urge you to exercise restraint.
Okay.
All will be revealed.
All right, in less than an hour.
What would you think about macaroni and cheese on tap?
I'll give you my feelings in less than an hour.
And finally, I do want to make a brief editorial comment.
Okay.
I am quite aware, as is Stan, that there are just awful things happening in the world right
Horrific.
Now. And we have come to a decision that we believe you get enough of that elsewhere, and we try to stay away from it for the most part.
We try.
I just wanted to get that out there. It's not that we don't know. It's that we've chosen
to spare you.
Give you a break.
Yep.
And finally,
because, boy, we could do a second show.
Dateline, Staten Island, New York. Police arrested a truckload consisting of 10 people in a truck filled with illegal fireworks and three alligators. These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. Laughter is... Pardon. 4 o'clock fluffer time. For Christ's sake. Mark?
Stan?
Everyone?
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
There we go.
I still do not understand the mask.
You better get on board with it, because states are now making it mandatory.
Because when the corona first came around, it was, don't wear masks. They make no difference.
Yep.
You're helping no one.
Yep.
Leave those for the health professionals.
That's what they told us.
We were told, you're causing problems if you wear a mask.
Make no difference. Makes no difference.
Now you've got lib governors telling you
mandatory.
You have to wear a mask. And you got Joe Biden, who peeped his head out of the basement window and said, if I'm president, you're all wearing masks.
Yeah, he passed an executive order wearing masks.
Is he okay?
No, he's not. And the world knows it.
With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
excuses for not wearing a mask.
Top excuses for not wearing a mask.
You are a Kardashian. What's one more virus to you? It makes you look like a sissy. Plus, it stifles your girlish giggle. Have you tried to snort coke through fabric?
Yeah, try that.
You're a proud Canadian, and you wear a permanent emotional mask.
Oh my God.
It makes it virtually impossible to use the breathalyzer that you use to start the car.
Yep.
Hold my beer.
You will not obey any order to wear a mask unless it comes from your dominatrix.
It is man.
Oh, jeez.
And always have a safe word.
What is the safe word?
For me, porterhouse.
It's like way inconvenient to have to lift it up every time you need to vape, brah.
Yeah.
And cover up several $1,000 in Botox injections. Thank you, no. If people are unable to see you frown, how will they know you're a miserable bastard? You're a millennial, and you're tired of constantly having to remove the mask to take your 5,000 daily selfies. When you're at the store, it's kind of hard to fight the urge to demand all the money in the register and run off.
Hey.
The cape and boots alone should be enough to make you look like a superhero.
Oh, Jesus! Mary and Joseph!
You already have something that protects you from others, called your personality.
He has such a way with words.
And finally, the very top excuse for not wearing a mask.
Yes.
How are you supposed to flirt with people if they can't even see your tongue? And that, my friends, is the 4 o'clock.
Elvis,
let that one sink in.
Email ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
What?
Ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
Okay.
Let's see what we're starting with here. Oh. This is from Kayla.
That's a pretty name.
Heard us talking about Carlos Santana. We were playing him in the grab bag, the new song he and his wife did.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, guys. Heard your little bit on Carlos Santana. Don't you think it's time the NFL has a great Super Bowl halftime show and honors the great Carlos Santana? I have actually written the NFL on the last 2 years of Super Bowl halftime shows.
She's not wrong. He would shock people.
Yep. Nothing. Maybe you guys can help by just spreading the word a bit. Maybe somebody will hear it and agree. Love you guys. Signed, Kayla.
The NFL strikes me as like working at a company with bad management. They won't do that until it's too late.
Yep. And remember, if you want to perform at the halftime show of the Super Bowl, you have to pay the NFL.
Yeah, it went from being good exposure to you pay us.
Yep. Movies you haven't seen. Randy writes, I heard you guys talking about it. I've never seen Star Wars.
Any of them?
It just says never seen Star Wars.
I've just about had enough of you.
Jennifer writes, good afternoon, gentlemen. What a fun question of the week yesterday. There are so many classic movies
that I need to see. However, it's funny, that was the question of the week just this morning. After seeing some clip or reference to the movie, I realized I've never seen Ghostbusters.
How is that possible?
Maybe not considered a classic. I'd consider it a classic. But it seems I'm the only person my age that never saw it. When I was 14 when it came out, so really not sure how that is even possible.
At 14, how would you miss Ghostbusters?
I don't know. She doesn't know how it's possible. And please, please, Stan, seriously, I cannot believe you've never seen The Big Lebowski.
Yeah, that's nuts.
I haven't. Make that your next movie night. One of the best movies of all time.
You love the Coen Brothers movies.
I know,
you love Oh Brother.
I've never seen it.
Lebowski is like their masterpiece.
Yeah. I love Oh Brother. I've seen that multiple times.
Then why?
I don't know. Just never got around to it. Love you guys.
Did you ever get around to the movie I told you to watch?
I haven't.
Of course you didn't. Neither did Junior. Nobody listens to me anymore. Yeah, but then again, I'm not the likable rascal I used to be.
Yeah, that's right. So many years ago.
There's a lot of warmth there.
Yeah. There was. You wanted to like him. Scott.
You just couldn't bring yourself to commit to it, though, could you?
Well, I don't know. I think a lot of people committed to it.
What would you guess? Somewhere in the neighborhood of 7.5 million?
About that. Okay. In a world of upheaval, this is Scott from Naples. In a world of upheaval, you guys remain a constant source of quality entertainment. No matter how many times Haney has to be toodalooed these days, for right, for wrong, for the sake of employment, hopefully, we will still have a world. Love you guys. And by the way, Junior, your penis, the cat, looks amazing. And I hope you two enjoy each other for many years to come. Sincerely. P.S. Haney, I'm trying to find that news article about that Asian girl with a strange name she wants to be called.
Yes.
And that professor. Where can I find that?
Well, if Stan would let me tell you how to spell her name.
No, well, then put it up online.
It's on our Facebook page.
It's on our Facebook page. Ta-da!
Turtaloo.
Yep.
And, you know, Scott, I occasionally have to be toodalooed because, as I just said, both of us do our damnedest not to bring this stuff up.
We try.
But sometimes it gets so bad that it leaks out.
Yeah.
And I do try to keep it to an absolute minimum. I get very, very angry.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, the Guardian.
Jesus.
Ahoy, gentlemen. Guys, I have to tell you, there are a bunch of movies I haven't seen. When I was a boy, I was urged to go see Charlie Chaplin. No, sorry.
Jesus.
But I gave up on film when they went to the talkies.
Yeah, the talkies. a bunch of movies. And let me tell you why. I refuse to pay the prices they are charging for movies. They charge not only admission, but for a damn drink. I want to watch a movie. If I want to watch a movie, I'll watch it in the comfort of my own home. Here's something that people don't understand. You go and see these outrageous prices for movies, and then you go and you're paying just as much for refreshments.
That's the only way they make money.
That's the only way they make money. The ticket that you're buying to go see the movie goes right back to the Hollywood people. The theater makes their money on the refreshments.
Think about what their AC bill is alone.
Yeah. So they don't see hardly a dime from that ticket to go see the movie. They make their money on concessions. No. That's why I have my own home. So, see, I don't want to go in this direction today.
Where are we going to be in 10 years? Are there going to be no movie theaters, no retail stores?
Oh, there will be movie theaters. There will always be movie theaters. How they structure them, if you look at how we went to the movies as a kid and how these multiplexes are today, completely different. But also, you got what's going on now. And I don't think movie theaters have opened back up, at least around here. You want to talk about losing money hand over fist.
You know my favorite movie theater of all time?
What was that?
The one in West Melbourne.
Yep.
Where you could smoke to your heart's content, and they'd bring you pitchers of beer and whatever you wanted.
Yep. They still got them around now, but you can't smoke. And I don't
Wasn't that glorious, though?
Yes, but I think if that one was around today, you wouldn't be able to smoke in it. But back then, it didn't matter. And yeah, you could smoke, drink beer, and have a sandwich.
That was great.
And watch the movie.
That really was awesome.
We're going to take a break.
That's the kind of theater I want.
We'll be back. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Howard Stern.
All right, well, you get a hold of that Stan and Haney tape.
Where would then send it to?
To me.
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us this afternoon, Friday afternoon. We'll get you updated on traffic here in just a second, and we'll also tell you over at 96krock.com, our half-price deals are back. Urge you to take a look at that. We'll give you a little bit more details, and also something that I'm learning about right now, the Stan and Haney VIP Club. What? All right, a couple of things on the board right now. Cape Coral got a crash. Southeast 27th Street and Santa Barbara Boulevard. And if you're lucky enough to be out on Captiva, there's a hit and run. Just simply says Captiva Beach. And you are up to date. We'll have another traffic update for you in about 30 minutes. By the way, in case you haven't heard, effective immediately, Florida officials are suspending consumption of alcohol at bars statewide. The Department of Business and Professional Regulation made the surprise announcement on Twitter this morning after news came out of Florida's nearly 9,000 new corona cases. 96krock.com. You can go and get some of Southwest Florida's best deals at restaurants, businesses, and attractions. Check out 96krock's half-price deals and sign up for the all-new Stan and Haney VIP Club. It's all at 96krock.com and now on the KROQ mobile app, too. Ahoy!
Hey!
Hey, everybody, listen to this. It's Tony D'Amico, up there in Cape Coral. He's got a restaurant called Cape Crepe and Chowder. It's a landmark. How are you, Tony?
I am outstanding, and it is so wonderful now that we're past all this virus nonsense and the mask wearing.
No, Tony.
And we got the booze flowing.
No,
we
Tony.
Got chowder specials.
I just read the statement.
Stan, let me tell you, I think, and I know I'm speaking for a lot of small businessmen in the restaurant business when I say this.
Jeez, Tony.
That I think we're going to make it. It was tough sledding there for a minute. But, I got to tell you, the government with the payroll protection program, but now that I can finally be open and sell booze,
Tony,
and there's going to be people coming back and we're going to have concerts,
Tony,
and block parties.
Not anytime soon.
Dad, do you know...
They
if this had gone on,
yep.
for even another week, I was about to have to lay myself off. And do you know what would happen if I did that?
Being that it's just you and then, Big Tim, you'd have to close up.
Yeah, and then all the government money that they gave me so I could pay my employees,
yeah.
Then I'd owe it back to them with interest.
Yeah.
But thank God, with booze sales alone,
Tony,
you give me a couple of weeks.
Tony.
And I'm not saying it will be 100%, Stan, but I'm saying we'd be getting there. And if we ever have another disaster like this,
will you listen to me for a second?
Completely close down a whole GD industry.
Listen
I
to
thought
me.
This was America,
Tony. I just said
I
it.
I thank God that we got a governor who gets it,
Tony.
And that we need to reopen and stay open. There's no going back now. We
Tony,
can't do that again, Stan, or it'll be the death of the small business.
Tony, man. I just reported on it before I picked up the phone with you. Florida suspending any alcohol consumption at bars statewide due to a rise in COVID-19 cases. You can't serve. Nobody can be at the bars. What are you talking about? You're all jumping for joy. I'm trying to tell you. I just made the announcement. It came out today. Tony? Tony.
Stan?
Yes, Tony.
I find, I know, you know, you're doing your radio thing. But I find this particular brand of humor questionable. It is not amusing no. to toy with a man's livelihood
I'm telling
in a sluggish
you,
economy.
Tony, I've got it right in front of me. If you just listen for a second, effective immediately, Florida officials are suspending consumption of alcohol at bars statewide. The state's Department of Business and Professional Regulation, you've dealt with them in the past, made the announcement on Twitter this morning. The news came minutes after Florida reported nearly 9,000 new cases of coronavirus, a record daily increase. You can't serve it anymore, Tony. You can keep your restaurant open. You can have them sit at the table. But if you're serving alcohol up at that bar next to the kitchen, you can't do it. Tony? Tony, I'm sorry. I would think that you would at least have some kind of transistor radio on or a black and white TV where you'd see the crawler on the screen. Why am I breaking this news to you? Why am I the one? And again, you called up all bright and chipper and we've made it. No, we haven't. And I hope when you're waiting on customers, regardless of if you're serving booze, you got a mask on. Do you have a mask? I can have Junior run you up a couple of masks. You gotta have face covering, Tony. That's part of the whole reopening. You gotta have that face covered.
Right.
So even if somebody comes into your restaurant and wants just a bowl of milkless chowder, if you come up to the table, you got to have a mask on and paper menus that can be thrown away. Don't use those old plastic ones where you insert it in that clear plastic and they get all sticky. That won't fly. Tony. Tony. Is it going to put you, are you going to have to lay yourself off and then you're responsible for all that relief money? I'm just telling you, this is the news out today. Hello? Tony. Tony, you can still do takeout. You can still have people in there as long as they're 6 feet apart, but you, as the restaurateur, cannot serve alcohol at a bar. And you have to wear a mask.
Stan.
Tony, I'm sorry I had to be the one. I thought you would have known. It came out this morning.
Well, I guess that explains...
What?
Why... Business has been gangbusters all day. Yeah. And I did think it was strange. Nobody wanted no food. All they ask is, you serving booze?
Yeah, because they're looking for somebody that's going to go and violate it. And these kids, you know, they're on break and they want to go and have something. And they're the ones that are spreading it.
You know, Stan, you mentioned that
Don't cry, Tony.
That I sounded very happy when I first called you.
Don't cry. Please don't cry,
Tony. Do you know why I was so happy?
Why were you so happy?
Because for the first time in months, I saw a packed effing house.
Yeah. Because you didn't get word of it, and you're the only one in town that was doing it. I'm telling you right now, you got to stop, or they'll shut you down. If they catch you, they're going to be doing, like, spot inspections. That's what started this whole thing. If they see you with a bunch of congregating people, nobody wearing the mask, and they're all drinking booze at a bar, they'll shut you down.
Well, they're even out drinking in the parking lot, and it was going so well, I had him drop off one of them signs. You know, with the yellow background and the replaceable letters.
Yeah.
And it was going so well, I just put up Tony's Endless Happy Hour, Cape Crepe and Chowder all night.
No, you can't. Then, Tony, I don't want to see you go to jail or have your business shut down. Can't
Dan,
you?
I just... right before I called you...
Don't cry. Tony, I don't know what to do. I'm telling you the truth.
I already had a packed house, and as I was coming over to call you, I saw 30 motorcycles pull up. Oh, my God.
Tony, I mean, are you wearing a mask? First of all, you can stay open.
There's nobody wearing a mask, and I got a restaurant and a whole parking lot is full of drunk people.
Well, as long as they're not at the bar, they can buy and walk out with it. But I don't know if that's good either because they're loitering, and you're not wearing a mask. How do you feel? Are you okay? Do you physically feel okay?
Stan, I felt like crap since the mid-90s. I don't know. I guess.
Please don't cry anymore, Tony.
Stan, do you happen to know offhand,
Tony,
how long is it that Amazon will accept returns?
I don't know. They might have extended it because of this. I mean, you can return. You got the return postage and all that stuff on it.
No, I don't have all that. But I got
Tony.
I let Timmy order a giant margarita mixer.
You got to cancel it, Tony. At least for now, you don't need to be spending money on this stuff. You're gonna owe the government money. You're gonna go and have it.
Stan, quite frankly, between me and you, the item is quite used now. It's all, you know, gunked up and sticky.
Then they're not going to take it back, Tony. There'll be a time.
And there goes
time.
And there goes my signature cocktail, Tony's Wet Willy.
Tony, in a few months, when we get into phase 3...
Dad. I thought it was fine. Why do they keep yanking me around?
Tony.
It's all about this small business man. They want to get rid of the small business man. They want to turn everybody into commies.
Tony, please.
You know what I'm going to do?
What are you going to do? I want you to stay calm, and I don't want you to do anything drastic. I don't want you to do anything drastic like when you think because a couple of days there's good business because people are drinking.
You know what?
You buy a margarita machine, you stupid.
I know damn well how to draw a crowd.
How you going to draw a crowd?
No matter what the circumstances, I'm going to put a statue of Nathan Bedford Forrest up in my parking lot and then watch the people come.
Tony, don't do anything drastic. Oh, I'm worried about him now. Jeez, he's barely hanging on by a string. We'll be back. Stan and Haney,
96 K Rock.
Hey, I'm Elwood Blues. I'm on a mission from God, and these guys gave their hearts to Jesus, but their asses are the property of Beasley Broadcasting. Stan and Haney, 96 K Rock.
Oh, I bet she's in the yard again. I'll have to call the cops. She follows me everywhere I go. I can't make her stop. I swear sometimes she's been inside my house when I've been gone. She's about to drive me crazy. Hey, let me tell you what's going on. Taylor Swift is stalking me.
She's a little Lolita. She's a hussy. She's a tramp.
She's stalking me.
She makes a lot of
look
like a Girl Scout. Yeah, she's a
tramp. She's piling in the backyard now, up in that tall pine tree. With a pair of night vision goggles focused right on me. I swear she's everywhere I go. You know, it's plain to see.
I bet she's in the camera shooting pictures in 3D.
Taylor Swift is stalking me. I told her I knew you were trouble. After all, you're just 22. She said you belong to me, and I'm only me when I'm with you. I'm writing songs about you, she said, and she even wrote our song. Then she turned me and said, no one's as cold as you, when I told her I was moving on. And now Taylor Swift is stalking me.
She's a little Lolita. She's a hussy. She's a tramp.
She's stalking me.
Makes a lot of the yeah, she's a
fan. She's probably in the backyard now, up in that tall pine tree. With a pair of night vision goggles focused right on me. I swear she's everywhere I go, you know it's plain to see.
I bet she's kind of above, up under the rug, you can't see.
She's stalking me. Hey, somebody, help! Whoa! This is really happening. I'm being stalked by a superstar. She said that our love story has put tears on her guitar. Her face is all over my TV screen and on the cover of all my magazines. I see her everywhere I go. You know this has gone too far. Taylor Swift is stalking me.
She's a little Lolita. She's a hussy. She's a
tramp. She's stalking me. She's probably in the backyard now, been that tall pine tree, with a pair of night vision goggles focused right on me. I swear she's everywhere I go, you know it's plain to see.
I bet she's got a big hat and a voodoo doll of me.
You know, she's stalking me. I know I'm a hunk. Girl's been chasing me since 1989. I can't get any from my hottie. It's a curse. I told her we are never getting together. She's not believing me. She'll jump then fall, text, Twitter, and call. She just keeps on bothering me. I know nobody believes me, but just look up in that pine tree. There she is with them goggles on. I tell you, Taylor Swift is stalking me. What? That's not her. It's a what? A hootie owl. Hey, let me see them binoculars. Oh, well, who'd have thunk it? My bad.
Two men, two microphones, and way too much baggage. Stan and Haney. 96 K-Rock.
Ah, the great Ray Stevens. Still doing it.
He's brilliant.
The man that gave us the streak. Still doing it. Taylor Swift is stalking me. Junior has no idea who Ray Stevens is.
Never heard of him.
Jeez, can you believe that?
Are you kidding me? Junior.
You got the streak on there? You got something else that you can...
Have you ever heard the streak?
I don't know what you're referring to.
Wow.
Ray Stevens is actually a pretty accomplished country star back in the 60s and 70s. And he would go and also do parody songs, which he would get hits with.
Yeah, he was brilliant.
And because he had straight up country hits, but he would do comedy stuff.
Junior,
like that.
You've never heard this.
Hello, everyone. This is your Action News reporter with all the news that is news across the nation. On the scene at the supermarket, there seems to have been some disturbance here. Pardon me, sir. Did you see what happened?
Yeah, I did. I was just standing over there by the tomatoes, and here he comes, running through the pole beans, through the fruits and veggies, naked as a jaybird. Ethel's over there in the jams, jellies, preserves, and pickles. I hollered over there. I said, "Don't look, Ethel!" She dropped a whole jar of kumquats and fell back into the sweet midget cider. Had us too late, she'd done been incensed.
Here he comes.
Boogie dad, boogie dad.
Here he comes.
Boogie dad, boogie dad.
And he ain't wearing no clothes.
Oh, yes, they call him the street.
Oh, I wish I had my wolf whistle.
You've never heard that. What about this?
Never heard of that. Not ringing a bell.
They ring a lot of my bells.
Let me tell you about Ahab the Arab, the Sheikh of the burning sand. They had emeralds and rubies just dripping off of him. Had a ring on every finger.
Never heard that?
Never heard that.
He wore a big old turban wrapped around his head.
What about this?
A fella named Willard McBain, and he only had just one thought on his brain. Every evening about midnight he'd slip off alone and call the same lady on a pay telephone. It's me again, Margaret. Hello, is this Mark? You don't know me, Margaret, but I know you.
Doesn't ring a bell, huh?
No, I like it, though. What's the name of that one?
It's me again, Margaret.
Well, it's upset the lady, gave her the blues. So she called the police, said, "What shall I do?" Well, the chief of detectives came around to her home. Dropped upon them on her upstairs phone. It's me again, Margaret. Hello, is this Margaret? I know it's you.
Doesn't ring a bell, does it?
Doesn't ring a bell, no.
Are you naked?
You never heard that. What about this one?
Never heard that.
Oh, Sama, your mama didn't raise you right. When you were young, she must have wrapped your turban too tight. She should have kept you.
He did his big
Arabian
hit.
Night.
Well, these were all hits.
Plain to see, you need
was Everything
therapy.
Is Beautiful.
Oh, Sama,
and Misty.
And Misty. Everything is beautiful.
What about this one? You ever heard this one? You ever heard this one, huh?
Well, I don't think
when
so.
When I was a kid, I'd take a trip every summer down to Mississippi, visit my granny and her antebellum world. I'd run barefooted all day long, climbing trees, free as a song. One day, I happened to catch myself a squirrel. Well, I stuffed it down in an old shoebox and punched a couple holes in the top. When Sunday came, I snuck him into church. I was sitting way back in the very last pew, showing him to my good buddy Hugh. When that squirrel got loose, went totally berserk. What happened next is hard to tell. Some thought it was heaven, others thought it was hell. But the fact that something was among us was plain to see. As the choir sang, "I surrender all," the squirrel ran up Harv Newland's coveralls. And Harv leaped to his feet and said, "Something's got a hold on me." The day the squirrel went berserk.
in the First Self-Righteous Church in a sleepy little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival.
Do yourself a favor and listen to some of his stuff. He's great and very talented.
It's me again, Marvin.
Let's get you updated on traffic. That's right. He had a hit with Misty, too. That was a big hit for him, too.
Yeah. And that was the straight stuff. Everything is Beautiful and Misty.
Which were huge hits.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get you updated. Traffic for your drive home this afternoon. 1 thing on the board of note. It is in Bonita Springs. We have a crash. South Tamiami Trail and Health Center Boulevard. And you are up to date. We got one more traffic update coming up in about 30 minutes. Mark Haney and the News, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District, starts right now.
There was a time before cable, when the local anchorman reigned supreme. When people believed everything they heard. This was an age when only men were allowed to read the news. One anchor man was more man than the rest.
Southwest Florida's most respected anchor man.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr. And suits so fine they made Sinatra look like a hobo. In other words,
Mark Haney
was the balls.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Friday, June 26.
Double M, double X.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Time now for things you didn't know. You know, it's Friday.
Yep.
You've got the weekend to look forward to.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do you a favor and start out with something that will put you in a good mood. You are going to have to ponder something about golf.
Who? Me?
Yes.
Oh.
You love golf, don't you?
I love golf.
Now, first, I'm going to give you some facts, and then I'm going to ask you some questions.
Okay.
I don't expect you to know this, so I'm going to tell you.
Thank goodness.
The longest golf hole in the world. Here are some results. It's my phone.
It's yours now. Now it's yours.
It gave me the list of longest films. Thank you.
Thank you.
But I'll check that later. I'm working now.
Yep.
This is insane. The longest golf hole in the world is 1,100 yards.
What?
It is located in South Korea. It is a par 7.
I didn't know that a par 7 existed. You know what? The only par 6 that I ever saw was in Dodgertown. They had a golf course there, and it had a par 6. Never played it, but Dodgertown in Vero had a par 6.
Okay, so you got it, right?
Yeah.
The hole is 1,100 yards.
That's insane.
Par 7.
Yeah.
If you, Stan...
Yeah.
Managed to get a hole in one, what would that be called?
On a par 7?
Yes.
I've got no idea. It's got to be some kind of bird name, though.
A what?
Boyd.
Oh. All right, maybe that's too
hole
much
in one
for
in
you.
Par 7.
Par 7. What if you did it in two shots? What would that be called?
That's still impossible. That's a par. Did it in two on a par seven. I don't know. A triple eagle? What is it?
All right. I do this knowing full well it's going to start arguments this weekend on various golf courses.
I have no idea.
If you manage to get a hole-in-one on the 1,100-yard par 7.
Hole number 3 at the golf course, and I see it's a public course in Korea.
If you did that, congratulations, you got a phoenix.
A phoenix?
If you did it in two,
yeah,
you would get an ostrich.
Had no idea.
Well, now you know. And as the beer starts to flow on the golf course, you know, I heard there's a par 7 in South Korea.
Are you familiar with Ray Stevens' song, "The Harry the Hairy Ape"?
No, I don't remember that one.
Me neither.
He's got a lot of them.
Yeah, I know.
Well, here's something that'll show you how life ain't fair. Led Zeppelin 4 is the 5th best-selling album in United States history with 23 million copies sold. Somehow, despite that success, it was never number one on the Billboard charts.
How often have we seen that with bands that you think are legendary and they never made it to number one?
It peaked at number two.
Well, still pretty good. But you with,
still
with
pretty good,
sales,
but overwhelming numbers.
Incredible.
Time now for This Week in Science.
Science? Oh, I won't even ask.
Just a couple of quick hits.
Okay.
These are things for you to ponder at home. I'm not going to go into great detail. Canadian researchers looked at 57 different social behaviors to determine which ones shorten our lifespan the most.
Oh.
We have the top three killers
that shorten your lifespan the most.
Biggest impact.
Right.
Smoking.
Well, come on. It's saving lives right now with the COVID.
Alcohol.
Come on. I thought a glass of wine a day is good.
Oh, they changed that yesterday.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
It's bad now?
Yeah. Mm. I'm DBPR. So, top three, smoking, alcohol, and at a strong number three?
Yeah.
Divorce.
Oh. I totally agree with that. You know, when I was in at UCF studying, getting my psych degree, they had the biggest stressors mm-hmm. in your life, and divorce is right up there with death. Divorce. It's right up there. It is the amount of stress and pressure on you is incredible.
But Stan, you have to understand, this isn't about you. It's about her dreams.
Right, and her aspirations.
Yeah. And the fact that a couple of years later she realizes she's made a horrible mistake has nothing to do with it. Not all studies are stupid, although you wouldn't know that from listening to this program. But occasionally they do some real science.
Science?
A new study has confirmed a 50-year-old theory that it confirmed this. Black holes could be an infinite source of energy.
Well, I'm willing to bet that. You just can't harness it.
Yeah, we don't know how.
I don't even know how. You go in there, you're going to wind up in another dimension where Picard and Kirk are living at the same time and they got to battle a vortex.
Yep, and then you know you're in trouble when you look over and see Spock laughing, playing a lute, and hanging out with chicks.
Yep. Giggling and...
You and I have observed this for many years. Whales and dolphins, I think they're smarter than we think.
Yep. I think they could very well rank right up there with us.
And we just don't understand them.
Correct.
But the more that they study them, the more they realize there's something more going on than is apparent to us. A new study on dolphins found... They don't just learn new skills from their mother. Now, the mother is very important in getting them started and, you know, how do you navigate the world and all that.
Yeah.
But they also learn from watching their friends. They can pick up stuff from them, which most animals don't. And finally... A study at Princeton found hummingbirds, tiny little boids.
Oh, okay. Hummingbirds.
Well, I believe the Latin is hummingbirds, but we pronounce it boid.
The Latin is bird.
And in case you don't know, dinosaurs are boids.
Yep.
They used to think they were lizards, but they're boids.
Thank you, Haney.
Hummingbirds, tiny little things, and they're wound up tight, boy.
Barely see them. Those wings go a mile a minute.
They're all hyper.
Yep.
Well, they've learned that hummingbirds can see way more of the color spectrum than we can.
Oh, yeah.
They have an extra cone in their retinas that allows hummingbirds to see and process ultraviolet light.
They're very advanced, those boids.
But they're dumb.
I don't know. They're hardwired, Haney.
Stan.
They're a hardwired animal.
Why do we run the world and not boids? They had their shot. They failed.
Because we have the ability to adapt and learn. They're hardwired. We know that we can adjust, adapt, and we also are, I think, the only species know that we're going to croak, too.
I don't know. You've ever taken an animal to the vet for the last time?
Oh, again, that's instinct, they know. I'm talking about consciously. Yeah. They got a feeling that something ain't good.
So you think, like, when a hummingbird is flying around... It's, hey, look at all the pretty colors. I can see more than humans can. And they're not thinking that.
No.
All they're doing is thinking, you have one job. You have one job.
That's it.
You have one job.
Yep.
Rest. You have one job.
Yep.
In a moment.
I am Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill, well, we can stop saying it's 5 o'clock somewhere because many Americans believe it's just fine to start imbibing way earlier than that.
Yeah.
At least on the weekends because, you know, we like to party.
But we like to go to work, too.
More than 2,500 Americans were asked how early is too early to enjoy your first adult beverage on non-work days.
And I think you said during the headlines, and I agree with you 100%, it's situational. What's going on?
It would never occur to either one of us to have an alcoholic beverage at 10 in the morning. But if we're at the racetrack, It seems normal.
Yep, let's have one.
Only 23% of Americans surveyed said you should wait until 5 p.m.
Oh, come on.
On a non-work day.
Come on.
16% said you're fine. If it's noon, you're good.
That was always the standard, noon.
10% said, hell, 10 in the morning or earlier. Fine with me. Another 8% were pretty firm on 11 a.m.
Okay, borderline. On holidays like Thanksgiving.
And 26% said somewhere between 1 and 4 o'clock, depending on how long you can hold out.
A lot of this has to be, you remember this, Haney, because when I first moved to Florida, whether it was in a Publix or something, those beers and stuff would be chained up until noon.
Mm-hmm.
And I know living up north in Connecticut, you had to get your drink home by Friday because Saturday and Sunday the liquor stores were closed.
Well, liquor stores were like state run almost.
Yeah. And I can remember in college, you know, let's go get a six-pack of beer or something. And those beers in the coolers were chained.
And I do remember that because I would have to wait for them to unchain because I was picking up beer to go to the football game.
So you could drink at noon.
Yep.
So I think it's situational and where you were raised and everything like that.
Yeah, I mean, habitual consumption is a whole different world.
Yeah, you'll find it wherever you can get it, and but time doesn't mean anything.
But for people that don't have severe issues,
right.
I think it really is situational.
Yep. Totally agree.
Because it's not that we would never have a drink at 10 in the morning. It's just most of the time it's not a good idea.
Right.
Men are almost twice as likely to think that having a pop in the morning is okay if it's the weekend.
Right, a little hair of the dog.
And most people in their 20s agree with that wholeheartedly.
What did you tell Junior last week? You know you're getting older when you don't want to go out on a weeknight and party and go out?
Oh, yeah, he just, matter of fact, yeah, I went to this raging party on Tuesday. And
yeah.
Like, get the F out of here.
You're our age. You don't say that.
not if you want to be able to do your job. No. Overall, most people describe themselves as social, weekend, or those special occasion drinkers.
Sure. Right.
Over a third said they don't drink at all. See, I'm in that category / retired.
Yeah. I don't drink like I used to.
No, I mean, if I drink, it's like somebody coming out in the field for Old Timers Day.
Yep. Yep. There he is, folks. There he is. The former champ. Me now, today, I mean, I have two beers, I'm loopy.
You've always been like that.
I have not, have I?
Yeah.
Really?
You start smiling and you're nice to people.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing.
It's very odd. 3% say they enjoy a drink whenever, wherever. And 5% say, what are you talking about? I drink every day.
Yeah, jeez.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, I don't know much about the world of trafficking illegal goods.
Never have.
But I would guess there's times you can't be picky about what you traffic. Police in Staten Island, New York, arrested a group of 10 people this week after they were caught with a truckload of illegal fireworks they were planning to sell. Now, that's hardly unusual. But along with all these fireworks, remember, this is Staten Island.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, they were also hauling 3 dead alligators.
They used to have a big dump on Staten Island.
No, they...
But those alligators are for skin.
Yeah, they speculate they were going to sell them, turn them into belts or whatever.
Hell yeah.
But no one has said anything about it. Police tweeted out a photo of the fireworks, but not the gators. They did mention them in the tweet, and they specifically said, "We are not joking." The people they arrested are facing charges for fireworks trafficking and unlawfully transporting the three alligator carcasses.
Look at the fireworks, though. Tons.
Those aren't for babies.
No, they are not.
They ain't sparklers.
Nope. They're not sparklers. They're to, you know, numb you when you hear the crackle, so when real gunfire goes off.
Well, and you see the videos coming out of New York. They're rigging up guns that shoot fireworks.
Such stupidity.
Running rampant.
Yep. Dun, 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 dun.
And that's the news for today, Friday, June 26th.
Double M, double X.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
Here he is, little Mikey Haney, telling it like it is.
News brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District this afternoon. We're going to take a brief break. We'll be back. This is the Stan and Haney Show.
Bang, bang. Sizzling, hissling, after hizzle on 96K Rizzle. That's right, we're quite hip and on the sharp cutting edge of 1999.
Bitch.
Well, it's more serrated than sharp, but it gets the job done.
Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Thank you so much for spending this week with us.
Stan, I wouldn't be anywhere else.
Talking about our audience.
Except my pool.
Yeah. I'm glad you're here too, Haney.
I didn't say I was glad to be here.
Well, I'm glad. No one said about what you think.
I know. You never have. Feel the love.
Let's get a final look at traffic for your drive home this afternoon. All right, let me see where I'm going to start here. Ah, here we go. North Fort Myers, traffic control. Pine Island Road and North Tamiami Trail. Fort Myers, crash. Daniels Parkway and I-75 southbound. Let's get that cleared up. And in Estero, disabled vehicle. Estero Parkway and South Tamiami Trail. And you are up to date.
Fight for the world.
rules.
Thrown to the ground. You play with fire, you burn your finger.
If you listen to fools,
time now for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic.
Classic comedy the way it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
Part of it's your fault, ladies. I see you out there laughing. Part of this man shortage is your fault. Yeah, because you wanted those metrosexuals. That's right. You wanted your man to be sensitive. You wanted him to have product in his hair. Get his mani and pedi done every week. Yeah, that all sounds great till you walk outside and it's dark and you hear a noise. Suddenly that metrosexual ain't doing you much good. That's right, because you wearing 4-inch pumps. He's wearing flats. He'll get away. Now your ass is locked in the back of the creepy guy van. Suddenly a little dirt under the fingernails is no longer going to be a deal breaker. It's bad, man. I don't know. What happened to real men? I don't know. You watch television? No men on television anymore. Watch TV, every commercial for ED. Every commercial, five guys sitting around talking to each other about how they can't get it up anymore. Just bragging to each other, sitting at the poker table. Oh, you know, Joe, I can't get it up anymore. Oh, that's too bad, Bill. Hey, try one of my little pills. Really? Really? Is this poker table conversation now? Let me tell you right now, me and my boys, we have not received the memo. No, you don't find sympathy at our poker table. You find opportunity. Guys sitting there like, oh, you know, Joe, I can't get it up anymore. Good, I'll bang Barbara for you. I've been checking out your wife for 15 years. Yeah, good luck with your little pills. I'll be upstairs handling man business.
Have yourselves a great weekend. Lord willing, we're back here on Monday. We'll do it all over again. We're the Stan and Haney Show, 96 K-Rock, and we leave you this afternoon with this. Ahoy!
Hey!
Hey, everybody, listen to this. It's Tony, Tony D'Amico, up there in Cape Coral. He's got a restaurant called Cape Crepe and Chowder. It's a landmark. How are you, Tony?
I am outstanding, and it is so wonderful now that we're past all this virus nonsense and the mask wearing.
No, Tony.
And we got the booze flowing. No, we
Tony.
Got chowder specials.
I just read the statement.
Stan, let me tell you, I think, and I know I'm speaking for a lot of small businessmen in the restaurant business when I say this.
Jeez, Tony.
That I think we're going to make it. It was tough sledding there for a minute. But, you know, I got to tell you, the government with the payroll protection program, but now that I can finally be open and sell booze,
Tony,
and there's going to be people coming back, and we're going to have concerts,
Tony,
and block
no,
parties.
We're not. No, not anytime soon.
Dad, do you know,
they,
if this had gone on for even another week, I was about to have to lay myself off. And do you know what would happen if I did that?
Being that it's just you and then, Big Tim, you'd have to close up.
Yeah, and then all the government money that they gave me so I could pay my employees, then I'd owe it back to them with interest.
Yeah.
But thank God, with booze sales alone,
Tony,
you give me a couple of weeks.
Tony.
And I'm not saying it will be 100%, Stan, but I'm saying we be getting there.
And if we ever have another disaster like this,
will you listen to me for a second?
Completely close down a whole GD industry.
Listen to
me. I thought this was America.
Tony, I just said it.
Thank God that we got a governor who gets it.
Tony.
And that we need to reopen and stay open. There's no going back now. We can't do that again, Stan, or it'll be the death of the small business.
Tony, I just reported on it before I picked up the phone with you. Florida suspending any alcohol consumption at bars statewide due to a rise in COVID-19 cases. You can't serve. Nobody can be at the bars. What are you talking about? You're all jumping for joy. I'm trying to tell you, I just made the announcement. It came out today. Tony.
Stan?
Yes, Tony.
I find, I know, you know, you're doing your radio thing. But I find this particular brand of humor questionable. It is not amusing to toy with a man's livelihood in a sluggish economy.
Tony, I've got it right in front of me. If you just listen for a second. Effective immediately, Florida officials are suspending consumption of alcohol at bars statewide. The state's Department of Business and Professional Regulation, you've dealt with them in the past, made the announcement on Twitter this morning. The news came minutes after Florida reported nearly 9,000 new cases of coronavirus, a record daily increase. You can't serve it anymore, Tony. You can keep your restaurant open. You can have them sit at the table. But if you're serving alcohol up at that bar next to the kitchen, you can't do it. Tony, I'm sorry. I would think that you would at least have some kind of transistor radio on or a black and white TV where you'd see the crawler on the screen. Why am I breaking this news to you? Why am I the one? And again, you called up all bright and chipper and we've made it. No, we haven't.
Why do they keep yanking me around?
Tony.
It's all about this small business man. They want to get rid of the small business man. They want to turn everybody into commies.
Tony, please.
You know what I'm going to do?
What are you going to do? I want you to stay calm, and I don't want you to do anything drastic. I don't want you to do anything drastic like when you think because a couple of days there's good business because people are drinking.
You know what?
You buy a margarita machine, you stupid.
I know damn well how to draw a crowd.
How you going to draw
a
crowd?
No matter what the circumstances, I'm going to put a statue of Nathan Bedford Forrest up in my parking lot and then watch the people come.
Tony, don't do anything drastic. Oh, I'm worried about him now. Jeez, he's barely hanging on by a string.
Blue skies.
Yeah.
Every day's a gift.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.